We read from 1 Kings in chapter 1, and we continue in chapter 2, where we read, "Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, If the children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their souls, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. Moreover, thou knowest also what Joab the son of Zeruiah did to me, and what he did to the two captains of the host of Israel, unto Abner the son of Ner, and unto Amasa the son of Jepher, whom he slew, and shed the blood of war in peace, and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was about his loins, and in his shoes that were on his feet. Do therefore according to thy wisdom, and let not his hoar head go down to the grave in peace. But show kindness unto the sons of Barzillaiah the Gileadite, and let them be of those that eat at thy table, for so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom thy brother. And behold, thou hast with thee Shimei the son of Gera, a Benjamite of Bahurim, which cursed me with a grievous curse in the day when I went to Mahanaim. But he came down to meet me at Jordan, and I swear to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put thee to death with the sword. Now therefore, hold him not guiltless, for thou art a wise man, and knowest what thou oughtest to do unto him. But his hoar head bring thou down to the grave with blood. So David slept with his fathers, and was buried in the city of David. And the days that David reigned over Israel were 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. Then sat Solomon upon the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was established greatly." So David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, and the days that David reigned over Israel were 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. Then sat Solomon upon the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was established greatly. This first book of Kings, as the title indicates, is commonly called the third book of Kings, because 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel concern the rise to the throne of Israel of first Saul, and then obviously God's king whom he anointed David in his place. And then as we enter 1 Kings, we read of the passing of King David before Solomon comes to the throne and other kings follow. This is the third book of the Kings. And here David's life draws to a close. But surely there was never a king in Israel quite like David. We read of the great wisdom of his son Solomon, who for 40 years reigned over Israel and walked justly before the Lord. But in his latter years, Solomon fell. But David's reign, despite the many falls of David, despite his sin and wretchedness, David's reign was one in which Christ was typified in so many ways. The Psalms that David wrote, the experiences he went through, set forth the gospel and the experience of the child of God, and the experience of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, in so many ways. And even here in his dying days, in his final hours, we see pictures once more of Christ, our Lord and Saviour, in David, and in the rise to the throne of Solomon in his place. In chapter 1, we read that David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes because he got no heat. As he aged, as death started to draw him into the grave, the consequence of sin and the effects of death were very evident. He was cold. He was weak. He was frail. And nothing could be done to stem the consequences. A picture of death and its effect upon us all. The darkness that sin and death bring upon mankind. The coldness. The weakness. It comes upon us all. It's there from the moment we're born inwardly. Inwardly we're full of darkness and sin. Inwardly we're full of coldness and apathy and hatred towards God. There's no light within our hearts by nature. There's no warmth. There's no righteousness. And as we grow old and approach the grave, the killing effects of sin finally bring about the death of our bodies too. And into the grave we're plunged. How cold sin is. So they tried to cover David with clothes to warm him up. To give him strength. To cover the effects of death within him. But he got no heat. We do the same spiritually. We try to cover ourselves. We try to put clothes around ourselves. To cover our sin. To cover the coldness. It's a picture of wrapping ourselves in our own righteousness. Our self-righteousness. But even our best deeds before God are but filthy rags. They are clothes that cannot cover the coldness of death, the coldness of sin. They bring no warmth. They have no righteousness. There is no life in them. The works of the flesh, though we may call them works of righteousness, though we may look upon our outward conduct as though it's good works, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. It's dead. It's cold. It's sinful. There's no life in our efforts. We cannot bring life unto ourselves. We're cold. We're old. And we're dying. Like David the king. So they sought a young maiden to nurture the king, to minister unto him, to cherish him, to bring him comfort in his dying hours. But she could not spare him the consequence of age and of death in the end. Notice the contrast. His David, old and about to die. And here's this maiden, young and full of life. Where one has his life about to be taken away, another with vigour of youth, full of life, is brought to care for him. But she cannot spare him the death which will come upon him. In this she is seen, Abishag the Shunammite, as a picture of the church. She is brought to her king, her lord, in his dying hour. She ministered to him, cherished him, but ultimately he must still die. As Christ was crucified and slain and buried, we're reminded of the women who cared for him. Mary Magdalene. In the days leading up to Christ's crucifixion, washed the feet of Jesus. She anointed his feet with perfume. She gave her all to care for him. At the cross, as the Saviour hung, the women looked on. And as he died, they cared for him. He was wrapped. He was anointed. He was laid in the grave. And in the morning they went to the grave to seek for him. They poured out their love upon him. They did all that they could for him. And yet, still, because of sin, he must die. He must die. Sin must be atoned for. There is no escape. No matter what Abishak could do to look after the king, David still died. And Christ must die if he was to redeem his people, his bride, from death. It is interesting that Abishak is a Shunammite, because the one other Shunammite woman we read of in the scriptures later in 2 Kings 4 is that woman that Elisha comes unto, who has a pot of oil which never wasted away, which miraculously provided meal endlessly, and who had a son who was sick and died. But Elisha went to the son, and by the power of God, the son was brought to life again. Again, that Shunammite woman is a picture of the church and a picture of Christ, the son who came back from the dead. Yes, David was old and stricken in years. David's life drew to a close. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong therefore, and show thyself a man. From dust David came. To dust he must go. He went the way, even mighty King David went the way of all the earth. You and I are just the same. From dust we are made, and to dust we shall go. We grow up like grass in the morning that is cut down in the evening. Our lives are but brief. Because we're born, we're conceived in iniquity. Sin is in all that we do. And when sin entered the world, death entered by sin. It's sin that slays us. It's sin that will take us to the grave. We shall all go the way of the earth, the way of all flesh. Christ himself, of whom David is a picture, being made flesh, taking upon himself humanity, made a man, born of the Virgin, lived and grew in the place of men. He walked amongst us, but he was made flesh in order that he should bear in his flesh the sins of his people. He was made flesh that he should be made sin in the sinner's place. That he should be offered up as a man in the place of men. That he should be slain in our stead. He was made flesh in order that he should die. In order that he could be offered up as a suitable sacrifice, a perfect, a pure sacrifice, the Lamb of God without spot and without blemish, but in order that that Lamb should bear the sins of many. In his flesh he bore the sins of his people. He was made sin. That caused his death. He was not spared death. Like David, he went the way of all the earth. Not because he deserved it, as David did, as you and I do, but because he took, in substitution, his people's sins. He stood in their place. He stood as their representative. He stood as our substitute. And he said unto God the Father, lay their sins upon me that they should go free. And I should die that they should live. Yes, he was made sin. In his flesh he died. That sinners like you and I, that sinners like David, should live. Before the day of David's death came, though, there was a challenge to his throne. David had previously said that Solomon, his son by Bathsheba, should be king over all Israel. But one of Solomon's brothers, Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And he slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zoeleth, which is by Enrogel, and called all his brethren the king's sons and all the men of Judah the king's servants. But Nathan the prophet and Benaiah and the mighty men and Solomon his brother he called not. He set himself upon the throne. He made himself king. He found those who would support him. And he usurped Solomon's position. He took the throne of David. He said in his heart, I will be king. I will be king. He engineered it. He used his own devices to bring this to pass. He desired his own will, not the will of his father. He desired his own glory. And in his actions, we see a picture of us all. Of all who seek to put themselves on the throne of God. Of all who say in their hearts, I will be king. Firstly, we see this in Satan himself, in the serpent, in that angel who fell, who sought glory and sought position and sought to put himself upon the throne of God. And God cast him out. So then he tries to take man and lead man in the same pathway. He comes subtly unto Adam and Eve in the garden and tempts them to eat of the fruit of the tree that the Lord God had commanded that they should not eat. And he says unto them, you shall not surely die. He said unto him that the Lord had said that in the day that thou eatest of this tree thou shalt surely die. And he says, no, you shall not surely die. Hath God said? He deceives. He deceives and he says, no. Do what you will. Go the way you want to go. You won't die. So he puts a whisper in our own hearts to cause each and every one of us to say in our hearts, I will be king. I will choose. I will decide my destiny. I will go mine own way. I will not bow to the will of God. I will not follow him. The throne is mine. And yet all the whispers of Satan do not spare the consequence of eating of that tree. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. We say in our hearts, I will be king. And it's a path that leads to destruction. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but it's a way that leads unto death. Yes, Adonijah put himself upon the throne. He exalted himself. But it would not stand. It would not be. It could not be. David the king, the father, chose who should reign. And he chose Solomon. As we read in 1 Kings 30, even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead, even so will I certainly do this day. Verse 34, and let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there king over Israel. And blow ye with the trumpet and say, God save King Solomon. David chose his son. The father chose the son and set him upon the throne. In this we see the electing grace of God. Mankind by nature seeks to put himself upon the throne. We may say in our hearts, I will be king. We may, in our pride and our arrogance, think that we determine what will be. Think that we can turn our backs against God and make God out to be a liar. Think that we can say of God that what he said is not true, it will not come about. Think that we can exalt ourselves over him. And yet God rules and is sovereign. God chose his son, Jesus Christ, and set him upon the throne. And God chose a multitude, a people in Christ, as his bride, to live and to reign with him. Christ was the firstborn. He is the elect of God, chosen of God, anointed king and saviour over all the kingdom. He is crowned with all glory. He reigns over all things, beginning and end, time and eternity. He is the beginning and the ending, the Alpha and the Omega. He is over all. He rules over all, every nation, every people, every tribe. He is the one who rules this day over every hour, every moment, every action. He is the Son, whom the Father has chosen. And no Adonijah, no sinner that says, I will be king, will sit upon the throne, except God, in grace and mercy, looks upon them in his Son and says, you will be his bride. As his people, his bride, are chosen of God, elected by grace in him. Everyone who comes to know the Son and praises the Son and loves the Son and serves the Son will reign with him. But those who say in their hearts, I will be king, will find that the Son, as Solomon did with Adonijah, will choose what becomes of them. For initially, when David put Solomon upon the throne, Adonijah, on hearing of his coronation, on hearing that Solomon reigned, feared greatly. We read in verse 50 that Adonijah feared because of Solomon and arose and went and caught hold on the horns of the altar. And it was told Solomon, saying, Behold, Adonijah feareth King Solomon. For lo, he hath caught hold on the horns of the altar, saying, Let King Solomon swear unto me today that he will not slay his servant with the sword. Solomon had in his power the authority and the reason to slay Adonijah for his treachery. Having put himself upon his throne, Adonijah was worthy of death. Just like you, and just like I. When we shake our fist in God's face, we show forth our condemnation. But we see the great mercy of God towards sinners in Solomon's initial response to his brother. Solomon said, If he will show himself a worthy man, there shall not an hair of him fall to the earth, but if wickedness shall be found in him, he shall die. So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar, and he came and bowed himself to King Solomon. And Solomon said unto him, Go to thine house. He showed him mercy. Adonijah flew to the altar. He pled for mercy. And the son Solomon, the king, was merciful. Now each and every one of us has sought to place ourselves upon God's throne. We've said in our hearts, I will be king. And there may come a time when in the gospel we discover that what we've done in our heart has brought us under condemnation. God by the Spirit may come unto us and begin to show us what we are and just how grievously we have sinned. That all those things we've done and thought and said, which once upon a time we thought was acceptable, righteous even, he begins to show us the iniquity of it all. And when he shakes us and causes us to see just what we've done, just how hateful we have been to his Son, to the Son of God, to Jesus Christ, just how we've despised him, how our sins crucified him, how we in our heart in saying, I will be king in his place, took the rightful king and we nailed him to a tree and slew him and said, Away with this man. We will not have him to reign over us. We took the king of whom Solomon's a picture, we took Christ and we slew him because we wanted to be king. Our sins crucified him, we spat upon him, we bruised him, we despised him. And should God show us that we've done this and put an alarm in our hearts and cause us to cry out unto God for mercy. If we are brought to our knees and say, Lord, I have sinned against thee and thee only have I sinned, like as David prayed. If we plead for mercy, then God is gracious. The Lord Jesus Christ will say unto us, Go to thine house. Come down. Fear not. But Adonijah, despite being shown mercy, went too far. And we can hear the gospel, and we can hear of Jesus Christ, and we can hear of his grace and his mercy, and still despise. Still our hearts are seeking one way or another, in one fashion or another, to take what is rightfully his. Still the cry is there, I will be king, or I will have the kingdom, or I will take what I can, but I will not bow to him. For later on in chapter 2, we read that Adonijah went too far. Being denied the throne, he then sought, he contrived to have the maiden that was given to David, to have the Shunammite Abishag to be his wife. And he went to his mother Bathsheba and pleaded that she should ask the king if he could have Abishag to be his wife. And Bathsheba went to Solomon. But Abishag was consecrated to the king. As a picture of the church, she was a bride of Christ. Her inheritance is connected with the king, his throne, his kingdom. And when Solomon heard the request of Adonijah, he knew what this meant. This was Adonijah by sleight of hand, by deceit, seeking to lay his hand upon that which belonged to the king and his kingdom. Adonijah's heart had not changed. He still wanted everything in his power. He did not serve the king. He would take from him. So Solomon commanded that Adonijah must die. What is all this? It is a picture of how Satan, being thwarted in his attempts to take God's glory, God's throne, then attempts to steal away God's people. If he cannot be on the throne himself, he'll come unto the bride and try to deceive her. He'll come unto Eve and say unto her, "Hath God said?" He will have the heart of the woman. He will seek to destroy and to steal the heart of the bride. But she's consecrated to Christ. She's bought through his death. Through his death he purchased her, he redeemed her, he ransomed her. Through his death he saved her, he justified her, he sanctified her, he washed her clean, he purified her. And through his death he gave her his inheritance, his kingdom. And yet Satan will do all that he can to steal her away from her Lord and Saviour. Oh, how he whispers in our ears, "Come this way. Ye shall not surely die." Oh, how he would steal her away. But what does the Son, the King, say of Satan's attempts to steal his bride? What does Christ say? What does he do? Like Solomon the king, the son, he says, "Surely this day he must die." Satan must be destroyed, and his ends must be brought to an end. And that's what Christ did upon the cross. Satan bruised his heel, but Christ crushed the serpent's head. It took Christ's death to destroy Satan. It took Christ giving himself in death to take away Satan's claim upon Christ's bride. And yet by giving himself upon the cross for her, Christ slew Satan forevermore. Where is your heart? Are you still crying out, "I will be king"? Even though God shows you mercy, even though God might come unto you in the gospel and make his truth known unto you, even though he might point you unto Christ, the true king, even though he might say, "This is your king, this is the saviour of sinners, flee unto him," even though he might show his love and his mercy and display it to you, do you say, "No, I will be king"? And do you try to come unto others and say, no, come this way, and steal the bride from her husband? Oh, the end of Adonijah was solemn indeed. He would not heed. He would not hear. He was not thankful for the mercy he received. Still he pursued his ends. But David put Solomon upon his throne. And in chapter 2 we read of how David spake unto Solomon, commanded him in his rule, and then finally he laid down his head and died. So David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, and the days that David reigned over Israel were 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. Oh, the depths and the meaning in just these few words. What a reign David had. 40 years in entirety. 7 years in Hebron. 33 in Jerusalem. 40 years, a period of testing, a period of trying. Like Israel, 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years David reigned. A reign that was well tried, well proven, well pleasing unto God. Divided into 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. Hebron in Judah. That place where Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the patriarchs, dwelt. That place where Abraham was buried in the cave of Hebron. David reigned for 7 years, a perfect reign in the place of his fathers. And then coming unto Jerusalem, into Zion, the capital of Israel, into Zion, Jerusalem, he reigned for 33 years. Typical of Christ, his Saviour, who walked himself upon this earth for 33 years, leading unto his death. So David slept with his fathers. Then sat Solomon upon the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was established greatly. The father David said, Solomon shall reign upon my throne. God the Father says, Christ shall reign upon my throne, and his kingdom will be forever. His kingdom shall be forever. How we see in Solomon's coronation, his anointing, his ascent to the throne, the establishment of his kingdom, how we see the hand of God upon him. All this is God's doing. God is sovereign. He rules over all. He establishes his kingdom. He brings about his eternal purposes in spite of all that man may do, in spite of all man's sin and rebellion, and all that Satan attempts to do. Nothing can thwart God's will. Nothing that you or I can do will alter God's purposes. Nothing that you or I can do will affect the establishment of his heavenly kingdom. God purposed that Solomon should reign. And he declared that Christ, of whom Solomon is but a picture, should reign. And his kingdom shall be established greatly. His kingdom shall know no end. His kingdom shall be forever. Do you know this king? Do you know his reign? Do you know his glory? Do you know his sacrifice? Have you beheld him in his death? Notice in Solomon's rise to the throne, the intervention of Nathan and Zadok the priest, and the other mighty men. In various places they are mentioned. Nathan, that prophet of God that once came unto David when David sinned over Bathsheba and said unto him, David, thou art the man. You're the sinner in all of this. He addressed him to his face. Oh, how we need a prophet like Nathan to come unto us. How we need God by his Spirit to come by his prophet, to come in Christ and to address us and say it's not others. It's not that person at fault. Don't point the finger to others. This is between you and me. Thou art the man. You are the sinner. You're the one in need of redemption. Yes, the prophet and the priest come to the king to bring about God's purposes in righteousness. In righteousness. A priest must offer a sacrifice for sin. And God in Christ, our great high priest, came and gave himself as the sacrifice for sin. He offered himself. He was both the priest and the sacrifice. He shed his own blood to bring in righteousness for a sinful people like you and I. And having at the cross offered himself, bringing in a great victory over sin, having died, having risen again, having ascended, having saved his bride, he now sits upon his throne. He now sits upon his throne in glory above. And as the prophet, he preaches today, throughout all time, throughout all the earth, his gospel. The gospel of the kingdom, declaring his throne, his reign, his kingdom, his salvation. And by this he establishes his kingdom greatly. But have you heard? Have you heard this king from his throne? Have you heard of his glory? Have you heard of his sacrifice? Have you heard of his great love and mercy for sinners like you and I? Have you, like Adonijah, sought to put yourself upon his throne? Have you said, I will be king? Has he come unto you and said, I am king? Thou art the man. You are the one that put yourself upon my throne. You're the one that sought to destroy me. Thou art the man. Has he brought you to cry out for mercy? Has he brought you to cry out for mercy? Or will you yet persist? Will you yet turn the hearts of others from Christ? Will you follow in Adonijah's folly? Or will you follow Solomon's wisdom? Will you follow the wisdom of God in Jesus Christ? Will you cry out unto him for mercy? Has he looked upon you and said unto you, go to thine house, come into glory, be washed of your sins, be my bride. Amen.